Is that, that'll do there? Right there? How about that?
Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah, okay, good. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me. And there's an urban legend that I don't believe it's true anymore. I did at the time that I wrote this. Apparently they needed some confetti for a Thanksgiving Day parade, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And they acquired it from like the NSA and different organizations under the idea that it would be cut vertically instead of horizontally. But this was not the case, according to this urban legend. So during this parade, there was lots of information flowing around. Mayor Confetti. A classic mistake by a few rookie shredders. Now Chad's SIN on the shopkeeper's shoulder. Britt's date of birth on the vendor's umbrella. Ethel's savings deposit on Ethan's shirt collar. It's what floats upon floats in the light in November. A disco ball breaks at the end of the fever. An agent accepts a quick toke from his neighbor. A motorcade spawns at the mouth of the river. Run with the creeps. At a shop window, he stares at a custom-made leather shoe. It glows like the hull of a conquistador's ship, starting price $5,000. Would it leave a trail of slug slime wherever he walked? Would hummingbirds fly from dress-print jacarandas to feast on the ghastly sweetness of that trail? Would the walk turn into a run, past the stately brick buildings, past projects, past the fire pits where kids roast plastic dollar store Halloween masks of cats and pigs, past the last brittle boned street lamp, and out onto the boiled peach skin surface of the river? Would it float? Would it chart a course backward through history? Would it stomp on each image in the kingdom of images? He lingers there at the window and wonders, knowing it's creepy to linger, maybe even to wonder. Then a sewer rat slides out from inside of the shoe like a magician's rabbit and stares at him and doesn't seem afraid. Three trees. The aspen, the maple, and the willow gathered one morning for coffee. I don't know how to properly measure my limited hours against the excess of love that I feel for my fellow aspen, lamented the aspen. There's just this constant sense of having let down my own kind. My husband is unreachable, said the maple. He has too many tiny stacked logs. A part of him is always away in some fire or the other. The plight of the ant makes me weep, said the willow, and the plight of the grass, and the nasty things humans will sometimes call one another as they glide by in canoes. Their conversation sounded like a day would sound in its entirety. They pressed their foreheads together at night and otherwise did not touch, though something was surely going on under the soil, among roots that only the most agile bugs could see. How many days passed like that before our family arrived? How many years? Morning, a pot of hot coffee, at the edge of the lake, three trees. This one's called The Particular Melon. Waleed was making a film about a particular honeydew melon. This melon, he said, pointing to the table littered with back issues of The Economist, a blackberry pearl, assorted suspiciously pigmented utensils, and the melon which lolled back and forth as their knees hit the table. Why this melon? Frank asked. He was curious. He was over-caffeinated. And why a film? Surely it has something to do with the fruit trade outside Lansu, the nefarious laws imposed upon the disenfranchised. No, Waleed said, let me stop you right there. I mean this particular melon, which bears the fruit of a singular summer, with its case like the skull of a human being, handled as quickly by the hands of the pickers and transporters as by the hands of the grocers, then cradled home up two flights of stairs by my mother, lighting the back end of a recurring shoulder injury, she, the first female underground boxer out of Pennsylvania in the 1960s. Wait, Frank said. So this is a film about boxing, barriers, a blow-by-blow account of your mother's rise to the rings of New York City. The melon is a symbol of motherly love, a warrior's prowess. The flesh of the fruit, a symbol of memory, of the toll the blows took over the years. How, having forgotten the details of her past, she remains a scooped-out shell of her former self until the seed of familial love and artistic direction is planted by your camera lens and the world sees her as she was anew. Wow, Walid said, you've had a lot of coffee. Please let me finish, Frank said. I want to understand this particular melon, and perhaps a clerk, brunette, late teens, holding it above her head and calling for a price check while the rest of the line grows anxious and impatient. Holding it steadily while your mother looks on, admiring her strength and thinking, perhaps, that she is seeing the torch being passed from one generation of boxers to the next. As sentimental and distractedly triumphant a moment as she has ever known in the ring, spitting blood into her bucket while the fat cats in the front row spill vodka tonics on their leather shoes. Then, Walid said, we will funnel the chords of a song through the air between her missing teeth. Something distinct, Frank said. Yes, Walid said. Something fresh off the heels of the blues. I'm going to read one more from this book and then just a couple of new ones. This one is called Sever's Talking. And I did a book while I was living here. I was trying to learn French. I was going to the Ecole Saint-Louis about 20 hours a week. And I got my first book report assignment. And I decided to pick a collection of poems. Somebody's third collection of poems by Mario Brassard, Le Livre Clarier, and write a book report on it. But it had no plot, and I am still not very good at speaking the language. So I wrote this book report, then I ran it back through Google Translate to check it. And it was mostly this, Sever's talking. I think it's supposed to be sections talking, but came out Sever's. Sever, you'll know better than I, most of you. I chose this book because the author is a yellow contemporary poet. The Clearing Paper is his third book. The book is divided into three different severed, The Distance Devoured by Wolves, Blank Notebook, and ultimately Self-Portrait of the Clearing. The shape of all the poems is prose poem or poems without jumping lines. The first Sever's addresses a second person voice, you, which is likely the poet myself, you approach. I also said that because he quotes the poet Fernando Pessoa, Portuguese famous, at the beginning of the book. Fernando Pessoa wrote as many people. The you of these poems is insoluble face. Many poems speak with a mental disease that manifests as nature pictures and images of the body. The second Sever's talking to a third person, plural we. The voice of these poems is already a lonely voice, but he speaks of our collective diseases, such as wars, destroy the surrounding, etc. In the last Sever's, he addressed himself as I. Images that recur are elementary images like snow, fire, mouth, etc. The whole book is very dark, a little violent, but I love his desire to speak in a voice clear as had lived without history, light as a bird ember found in the hollow of the hand, finally mine. I have this friend who's into caution wet floor signs. Walking around together, we note differences in the colors of the figures, black or red, one time green. Note whether the entire figure is colored in or only an outline. Remark on whether the figure has just noticed the ground underneath them has no traction, or if the figure is in mid-slip, or if the figure is already ass on the ground. When we are in an airport or in a mall and multiple caution wet floor signs can be seen at once, that is the very best thing. Once we were out shoveling meltwater off of a thick layer of ice in the driveway, and my friend told me that our driveway should have a caution wet floor sign, and we laughed. I responded that maybe this whole town should have a caution wet floor sign, and that got a chuckle and a nod. Once we spotted a caution wet floor sign hiding between two garbage bins. Then there was the time we found a caution wet floor sign hiding behind another caution wet floor sign, both of them leaning discreetly against a brick wall. Caution in Spanish is cuidado, and in German it's Achtung, and it is attention in French. Seeing a caution wet floor sign all the way at the other end of a long corridor is, in my friend's eyes, akin to seeing the first star in the sky or a full moon between the branches of a tree. Once, leaving the grocery store, we saw a caution wet floor sign lying flat on the ground, and another friend who was with us said something like, "It's like the caution wet floor sign needed to see a caution wet floor sign." That was a good one. We practically lost our minds. Natural ally. This rain on the roof is my natural ally. The stand of birch is a stand of my natural allies. The music of talk is my natural ally. Your pain and the place where anger joins with other anger. The dogs drinking at the river are my natural allies, so too the children pulled from the bombed out hospital, gas already burning their lungs. It is worthwhile to think about anything suffering, even just for a moment, to employ the term natural ally loosely without thinking it through, to brandish it out in the open, frequent as breath, which is the natural ally of all epithets. And I'll just finish with one more. It's called Lunch at the Red Roomie. After all of those years of tough guy posturing, I'll remember my father's father hovering over top of a box of pills like a grand dame fingering an extravagant bracelet. The delight that he took at the expense of other kinds of talk in describing what each small jewel was meant to do to the various parts of his body. And how my father just let him go on. The generosity of that. And then the mischievous look that my father bestowed upon me in the car heading back, and the glint on the sea, and the sense that we'd each remain bound to the other's wrist, regardless of whether or not I was smiling. Thanks very much.